Good morning, this is Karen Jarrett. I'm the chair of the Historic Preservation, interim chair of the Historic Preservation Commission. We would like to welcome you to the May 19th, 2020 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of this board is to protect for, to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's vacation travel industry, its tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinances are used by the board to judge the compatibility of changes and new development within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. These documents are available for review at the Metropolitan Planning Commission offices. At this time, please turn off or silence your cell phones, and if you can mute your audio until you speak, that would be helpful. Signposting. Members of the board received packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Dwayne, did you see any?
No, I didn't see any that weren't posted.
Okay. Travis, did you see any?
I did not.
Okay. All right. The consent agenda. We have no items on the consent agenda, so we will pass by that and go to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second?
Second.
All right, the motion to approve, I believe, was made by Dwayne Stevens and seconded by Travis Coles.
These are the people I have listed.
I guess we'll vote on the motion to approve. Mr. Stevens?
In favor.
And Mr. Coles?
Second.
I too am in favor. The motion to approve the agenda has been approved and passed. Approval of the minutes. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the April 28, 2020 minutes?
Hello?
So moved.
Second.
All right. The motion to approve the minutes of the April 28th meeting was made by Dwayne Stevens and seconded by Travis Coles. So now we'll vote. Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Mr. Stevens?
In favor.
And I too am in favor. So the motion to approve the minutes has been approved and is passed. All right, on the continued agenda, there is a petition of Ethos Preservation, 20-00173-COA at 220 East Anderson Street in addition. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Is there a motion to continue the item on the continued agenda?
I move.
And a second? Okay. The motion to continue the item on the continued agenda was made by Travis Coles and seconded by Dwayne Stevens. I call for a vote now. Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Mr. Stevens?
In favor.
And I too am in favor. So the motion to approve the continued agenda has been approved and is passed. There were no requests for extensions, I believe, and the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Collier Brownsville District, Streetcar District, and Conservation Districts. Moving on to the regular agenda, the staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. All right, the chair calls the application, and I can't see it here in front of me, I'm sorry. I'll turn it over to the staff member.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the item for 1812 Drayton Street. That's COA number 20-00-1959-COA. All right, and is everyone able to see my screen?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. The applicant is requesting approval to undertake a rehabilitation at 1812 Drayton Street. Exterior work includes brick repointing with lime mortar, window and door repair, new carriage house doors, replacing a metal stair with a wood stair, and the cornice and soffit elements will be repaired in kind as needed. The existing chain link fence is also proposed to be replaced with a wood fence. The lintel sills will be repaired, and due to structural issues, the brick veneer located along the Drayton Street elevation will be removed, cleaned, and reinstalled in kind. So just to get a closer look at the site, this is the property along Drayton Street. This is the existing garage opening on Drayton Street. This is the existing non-historic metal stair that is proposed to be replaced. And then this is the south facade. The primary residence at 102 East 35th Street, that would be this building right here, and carriage house were constructed in 1914. Many alterations have been made to the carriage house, including the addition of a new window and door, a metal stair added, the west door was converted for automobile use, and the second story was renovated. Carriage entry openings exist on the east and west facades. Currently, wood paneling surrounds the shorter metal garage door as infill at the west opening along Drayton Street. The east wall features a pair of deteriorated sliding wood carriage house doors. The primary building is identified as a contributing historic building. However, the carriage house is listed as a non-contributing building within the Thomas Square Streetcar Historic District. So overall, the proposed changes are mostly in kind. So the changes are visually compatible and all of the standards are met. Here we can see the existing and proposed elevations here. So staff recommends approval of the rehabilitation of the carriage house at 1812 Drayton Street as requested because the proposed alterations are visually compatible and meet the design standards. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
None from Travis.
No questions.
All right. The chair calls on the applicant for additional comments. Is the applicant online?
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can. Would you please state your name for the record?
Good morning, Rebecca Fenwick from Ethos Preservation. And I'm here as agent for the owner. And I think Allison did a great job of summarizing everything. So I'll just say, happy to answer any questions.
All right, are there any questions for the applicant?
None from Kohl's.
No questions for the petitioner.
Okay, I don't have any questions either. Is there anyone in the public who would like to ask a question or make a comment on this application? Okay, I do not see any hands raised or anyone who is making a comment. Any discussion from the board?
None from Kohl's.
No comments to offer.
Okay, all right. Are we ready to entertain a motion?
Make the motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Is there a second?
I second it.
All right. Motion to approve the application was made by Travis Kohl's and was seconded by Dwayne Stevens. And is there any further discussion on this motion?
No further discussion.
All right. I think that we are ready to vote now. Mr. Stevens, how do you vote?
In favor.
And Mr. Kohl's, how do you vote?
In favor.
I too vote in favor, so the petition passes. Thank you. All right, now our second petition is an appeal of a fence approval. And I will let staff present for us.
All right. Can everyone see a section of two photographs?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just making sure I'm on the right screen here. So thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the board. This is the petition of Frank Marshall and Karen Hill. They have applied with an appeal of a staff decision, which at the time it was approved for a fence at 424 East 31st Street. And that would be located here. So this is the existing fence, and another fence was approved for that. So the petitioners of that original were the adjacent property owners here, and then the petitioners for this appeal are located in this structure here. So I'm just going to give a quick background of this. There's quite a bit to go through, but in May of 2019, the petitioners began contacting preservation staff regarding issues with their neighbor located at 424 East 31st Street, which again is this property, regarding a fence on their west property line. Their concerns primarily consisted of an existing fence that was going to be or had been removed, and then the possibility that a new inappropriate fence would be installed without approvals. The owner of 424 East 31st Street had not been in contact with staff at that point, and no COA application had been received. The petitioners decided to apply for a fence COA, which consisted of what they believed the owner of 424 was intending to install. So on October 7th of 2019, the petitioners did apply for the fence COA. And on October 11th, 2019, staff actually did deny that petition, stating that the installation of the fence along the west property line for the property located at 426 East 31st Street, because the height, finish, and location are not visually compatible and the design standard for height was not met. So at that time, I'm just going to go to this quick drawing here. At the time that they applied and the application that was denied, it was for a fence that was 7 feet in height and ran along the property line continuously. So just so you see that. In January of 2019, the owner's agent for 424 East 31st Street began contacting preservation staff regarding requirements to apply for a COA for a fence. The owner, Myra Compton, submitted a COA fence application on February 7th of 2020. However, staff at the time had some concerns about the application, the major concern being that they had requested a 10-foot high fence, and the maximum height permitted in that district is 6 feet. So staff contacted the applicant. Originally, they stated that they intended to apply for a variance, but in March 2020, the owner's agent contacted staff again and requested that the application be changed to that requested height of 6 feet. So staff did approve that application on March 30th, and I'm going to go up to that picture above this one to show what was approved at that time. So at the time, it was a 6-foot fence and did not continuously run along the property line. It actually stops at either end of this portion of that structure you see here. So the petitioners, Karen Hill and Frank Marshall, contacted staff regarding the staff COA approval and did file an appeal, contending that the work will cause them to lose access to the west side facade of their building, restricting their ability to maintain and repair their building. And before the petitioners filed the appeal, staff prepared exhibits that you're seeing here to help kind of explain to the petitioners how their denied COA application differed from the adjacent. Can everyone hear me again? So just to kind of summarize everything up, staff approved the fence at 424 East 31st Street, and at this point it's up to the board to determine if this decision should be reversed or not. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Sorry, I'm having trouble with the mute button. Are there any questions for staff? Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Yes, we can hear.
Okay.
That last part, Ryan, you dropped out. Can you just kind of refinish the presentation? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you for the last probably 20 or 30 seconds.
Oh, I actually stopped speaking once they muted me. So you didn't actually miss anything. I just kind of summed it up stating that they had filed for the appeal, and then staff had actually created these sort of drawings here just to show the petitioner prior to their filing for the appeal what the differences were in what they had applied for and what this new approved application had been for. Again, the original application being this fence running along the property line with no opening here for that neighboring structure. And it was over the height limit being 7 feet in height. And then the new approved application did allow for access to this portion of the neighboring structure and was the appropriate height for that district.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So really just two differences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Would the petitioner like to, is the petitioner available? Is the petitioner online?
The petitioner is here labeled as Karen Hill.
Can we get her unmuted or him unmuted?
Okay. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, can you please give us your name? And if you would please take a few minutes to share your thoughts and concerns.
Yes, hi, my name is Karen Hill and I'm with my husband, Frank Marshall. He's actually going to do the speaking today.
All right.
Well, we're gonna read a prepared statement if that's okay. A lot of this is rehashing what Ryan has said about exactly what we're looking at. So let's go with how narrow this section is that we're being denied. It's only 44 inches on one side. And if we go back to these pictures that are on the stairs here, where it's cut off and...
Right there, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, you see that putting a fence there with runs the length north and south, whatever it is, east and west, we're cut off from a huge part of our property to maintain it, which is our biggest concern. And also with the front gate there, which is, again, the still same 44 inches, when that gate, I don't know if y'all can scroll up to that front gate section, when that's cut in literally half almost, you could see that those front stairs, which have been here for 120 years, that then is also cut off because of the stairs. And there's a window on the side of the house, there's plumbing there. So pushing the gate back would probably, well, a gate on that side of our fence would have to go back considerably to get past the window, the plumbing that's there on the side, et cetera. And I don't know if we're on the screen to show you more photos. Yeah, can you go
like,
to that?
If you'd like, I have the submittal packet you provided us. Is there a specific photo that you're looking for?
Yeah, the front stairs. There you go. I mean, so from that red line, which is approximately the property line to those stairs, is about 22 inches. So with a brick wall there, brick stairs, and a gate, there will be no easy access to workmen getting through there to maintain it. So that clearly is a concern, along with if there's a fence that is butting up against to the corner of the house there, which literally is cutting off that whole section of the house, which will not be able to be maintained by us. Those are our concerns. It's simply the maintenance of our, you know, historically awarded house, which we think we certainly have the right to maintain it. And a fence between those houses will cut that off greatly, if not making it impossible.
Can you talk about the letter?
We have tried to, you know, come to some reasonable, you know, compromise with Myra and her lawyers. But this is the response that we got. Ms. Compton declines to enter any proposed easement and maintenance agreement you sent her in July. Ms. Compton plans to replace her existing fence with a new fence within the boundaries of her property, end quote. So, you know, it leaves us no other option to appeal this, because if she's going to be unreasonable about having any access for maintenance, you know, there's nothing we can do about it except for appeal this and, you know, kind of be at your mercy of, you know, maintaining a half a million dollar house because there wouldn't be a fence there.
Ryan, are there the photographs of the repairs being done on this screen? Can you pull those up? I think they're probably at the bottom.
The repairs, there.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's the one I want to look at.
Yeah, so you see the cramped space. Of course, if there's a fence there, there is literally no access. And these houses are going to be need maintenance. So it's kind of the point of, if you have the right to put a fence there, then I don't have the right to maintain my house. You know, I mean, these structures have been here for 120 years. You know, it was lovingly restored, you know, to actually get a historic renovation award. And now, you know, to basically be faced with an unreasonable fence, you know, which for whatever reason, she would deny all this to be preserved.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions of the applicant?
Do you want to?
Oh, yes. Well, and sorry, here's point. Yeah, here's the point where the approval and denial is also a huge issue that we have. Other than the 7 feet, it literally is pretty much the exact same spot. The between the houses, exact same spot, exact same dimensions, you know. And in our denial, it says building and rhythm on street. And I quote, the relationship of a structure to the open space between an adjacent structure shall be visually compatible with the open spaces between contributing structures to which it is visually related. A fence abutting the facade of a building and dividing a narrow space, 3 feet between houses, is not visually compatible. Typically, a fence is desired between buildings. The space is wider than 7 feet or more. Clearly, none of that, you know, end quote, none of that applies here. I mean, there's barely 3 feet on her side. Totally, there's not 7 feet altogether. There's not 7 feet on either side. So we don't understand the double standard of, you know, regardless of the 6 feet to the 7 feet, that space has not changed. The other one, which also it says under walls and fences, and I quote, when used correctly, walls and fences help to define outdoor spaces, separate the private and public realms, and add architectural interest to a building facade. When used incorrectly, walls and fences can restrict light, obscure views, and impede pedestrian activity. These standards are not met, end quote. And obviously, where that fence is butting up against the part that juts out of our house, again, there is no pedestrian access to get around our house to maintain our house. So we don't understand the double standard of the approval and denial other than the 7 feet, because the space has not changed, the pedestrian access has not changed. So.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions of the applicant?
None from Kohl's.
All right, and I'm taking it there's none for Mr. Stevens either. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? We ask that you please state your name for the record. Ms. Compton, would you like to share now? Ms. Murray? And Mr. Stevens apparently is having difficulty with his audio.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, my only question, well, I guess for is it the applicant?
Or can I get a name, please?
Tom Murray.
Tom Murray. All right, thank you.
Is at its closest, how close is the fence, the proposed fence, to your property? It looks like there's a part in the back where your house juts out. How close is the actual fence to the property?
Well, it basically would be touching it.
See, that's what it looked like, and that seems pretty extreme. So that was really the reason for the question. Okay, that's what I thought.
Mr. Stevens, are you able to respond now? Hold on, he's calling back in apparently.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And do you have questions for the applicant or for staff, Mr. Stevens?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Are there other members of the public who would like to speak?
Hi, yes. My name is Myra Compton. Yes, ma'am. Hi, my name is Myra Compton. I'm the homeowner of 424 East 31st Street. Yes, ma'am. So Frank Marshall and Karen Hill have both come up to me, and I have proposed an actual easement for them to be able to access that area, but not only just, you know, helping with their home and doing repairs on their home, as well as looking at their termite traps and their electrical box and things like that. I've gone to them about an easement, and I actually have a voice recording of it as well about a proposed easement, which they have not agreed upon. And the photos where you see, as Frank was mentioning in his application, their painter is actually on my land. And I, you know, even without a proposed easement, I allowed them to do house repairs. You know, even though there, you know, might be old bad blood between us, I'm not going to stop someone from fixing their home. I'm not a malicious person. I don't want to do that. So even though a fence may be, you know, built on my property line, as people say, fences make good neighbors, right? it doesn't mean I'm going to stop them or not allow them to do maintenance to their home or be able to get to their electrical box or maintain the, you know, I believe they have termite traps or some kind of traps down there. I'm not a malicious person. I'm not going to stop them from doing that. And yes, it may be 44 inches, but it does make a big difference when it comes to decluttering your backyard or your back patio space. They approached me. I can't, you know, quote the exact date. I could go back, but earlier on in this month of May, and asked me if I would remove my items from that space in between in order to, so they can paint and do repairs on their building. And I have. I've had my entire, you know, porch cluttered up this entire almost month just so they can do repairs on their home. Because the fence will be there, I don't see an issue of, you know, letting them into that space to do any maintenance that they need.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Compton?
Yes, can I address this?
No, this is from the board. Any questions for Mrs. Compton?
I have one, Dwayne Stevens. Ms. Compton, I just want to be clear. This fence is completely enclosed on within your property, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that is correct. I've had to have the land surveyed 2 times, and just to make sure it was going to be exactly or right on the, you know, the proper property lines.
Okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions from board members?
None from Coles.
All right. Would the petitioner like to respond to the public's comment?
Well, yes. As I stated in her letter from our response, which is all we have in writing, is that she declines to enter into the proposed easement and maintenance agreement you sent her. So that's in conflict to what she's saying, because we basically said, without building a fence in between our property there that runs from the corner of our house up to the front gate, that we propose that be a shared common sense with common space with an easement. So back, you know, in August of 2019, she declined all of that. So now she's saying, you know, oh, of course, I'll give you an easement. And it says here that there's no conflict with the power box, which, I mean, I would have to jump over a fence or have keys to her side of the fence. Let's say the washing machine blows the fuse or whatever's going on there in that fuse box. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know, hey Myra, please, at, you know, your whim or whatever, can I go fuss with the electric? So, you know, her saying, you know, I've been going along with this, you know, it's a little contrary to what we've received from her lawyer, which is, you know, I declined to enter into this easement and maintenance agreement that we sent her. So technically, that's all we've had from her lawyer. I don't know if you see this. So when we did try to do the maintenance, she stopped it, put up spikes on both sides of this fence, kicked the workers off the property, and you know, then it took days and negotiating to get them back.
Thank you. I want to ask for any additional public comments. We've heard from you, Ms. Compton. So if there's anyone else who would like to make a comment, we've heard from Mr. Murray.
My lawyer is also present if he would like to make any comments. But the one thing that I would like to say on, and I believe this is a discussion of an easement between me and the, I would say, the owners of 426 East 31st Street. But the one that they proposed to me about a year ago was for my fence to remain on 3 feet into my property so that they access what they call a minuscule amount, 44 inches. And they basically only have, you know, sole purpose of that. So no, yes, that one was, refuse that one. But yes, once again, I apologize. I know that's, you know, not dealing with the fence. I apologize.
Thank you. All right. I think it's time for board discussion.
Okay, this is Mr. Stevens. This is a very unfortunate situation here, but it, you know, I don't feel that this is within the purview of this body. Our sole purpose is visual compatibility, and this just doesn't fall within that. This is this easement issue is something that would have to be handled by another body. Like, again, I state, you know, I sympathize with the party who doesn't have access, as well as I understand the other party's position of their rights to their property. However, this is not within our purview to rule on. Therefore, we can only make our judgment based off of the findings provided by staff and the visual compatibility. So, you know, though I know this is a frustrating situation for both, I don't think it's in our reach for us to be really ruling on anything outside of visual compatibility.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Cole, do you have any comments?
Yes, I agree with Mr. Stevens that easements, we're not here to grant easements. That's not our purview for people's private property, and I understand and sympathize with them. But yeah, I think we need to stick within our purview.
Thank you. I too agree with Mr. Stevens. I live in the Midtown District as well, Mid-City District as well, and I have issues with fences that are very close to my property. Fortunately, I do have good neighbors. We go on the other side of the fence, we put up a ladder, and we take care of what needs to be taken care of on my property. So I agree that we are charged with visual compatibility and following the rules and regulations. So at this time, I am going to call for a motion.
I'm trying to find the petition number. Would you mind showing that to me, staff?
Can you help us out, Ryan?
This isn't in our manual, but I moved that the Historic Preservation Commission uphold the decision of approval of the petition of 20-00734-COA because it is visually compatible.
Is that the original petition?
So this here is the appeal. So what you would be approving or denying is the petition for the appeal. So you would either say I approve the petition for the appeal or I deny the petition of the appeal.
Okay, gotcha. My apologies. Thank you for that clarification. So I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of 20-00734-COA. The appeal of the board decision being reversed.
Do I have a second?
Would that suffice,
staff? I'm looking back at one of our old ones that we did. Correct. So you would approve or deny the petition for the appeal. Yes, correct.
And
yep.
And that file number.
That verbiage. That verbiage is sufficient. Correct.
I would believe so. If Allison believes otherwise, she can state.
Yes. So that's correct. So we would be denying the request for the appeal and upholding the original COA decision.
Okay. Thank you.